Sabbath blessings to one and all, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this wonderful Sabbath. Thank you for your prayers for last night. And the internet is working fine, wonderfully, and there's no more thunderstorms around me at the moment. It was kind of interesting last night. We had thunderstorms to our west, to our north, to our east, and there was just a sliver of an opening to the south. And lo and behold, that's where the biggest thunderstorm came from, was from the south. So we were completely surrounded, and our internet didn't fare too well. So anyways, thank you so much for your prayers. I want to welcome those also that are listening on the phone, and we appreciate you all being here. And it is definitely a Sabbath to give praises to our God and to point our hearts and our thoughts upward and away from the things of the world today. Before we get into our lesson, I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel before our God in opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that thy presence will be in our midst, and we give you full and complete control of this meeting and all the other meetings that will take place today. We pray, Savior, that your presence will be here in our midst, and please grace our hearts with bright beams of truth directly from yourself. And, dear Spirit, we ask that you be here as well to lead and guide us into all truth and to quicken our understanding that we may truly behold wondrous things out of the words of inspiration, things that we need individually for just such a time as this. We thank you, Godhead, for being here and for hearing and answering this prayer. And please continue to break up and dispel all darkness, all falsehood, all deception that is spreading around and affecting our people, that they may come to understand precisely who is working for thee and who is working for the devil. And we thank you so much for doing so, and thank you so much for mercifully opening our eyes that we can understand the little bit of truth that we do. Help us to be faithful to what we know, that we might be able to understand greater truths and in turn have the extra grace and strength to obey these greater truths and continue in this cycle of ever-increasing and advancing growth in grace. Again, thank you for being here and for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And yes, I agree 100%. I am extremely thankful that the lightning did not strike anywhere near our property and thus affect all of our computer equipment. That would be disastrous. But God in mercy allowed it to shut down before the thunderstorm got here, and we could not get back on the internet. So we just went ahead and closed everything down and prayed that God would continue blessing the room as it continued on without our presence there. But we do thank your prayers and your thoughts and concerns in this matter. So let us continue in our lesson book, which is Steps to Christ. And the link for those that would like to follow along is lightministries.com/ID624.htm. And we're in Chapter 11, which is entitled The Privilege of Prayer. And we're down towards the bottom of page 94. And the paragraph starts out, The Darkness of the Evil One. And it's highlighted there for you. So the bottom of page 94 in Chapter 11, entitled The Privilege of Prayer. The darkness of the evil one encloses those who neglect to pray. So what happens if we do not pray? Then the darkness of Satan encloses all around us. So if you feel like you're being enveloped in darkness, what should you do? You should immediately pray to God for help to dispel that darkness. So those who neglect to pray will be enveloped, enclosed in the darkness of Lucifer. And what happens if this darkness is all around us? Continuing, the whispered temptations of the enemy entice them to sin. And it is all because they do not make use of the privileges that God has given them in the divine appointment of prayer. So when we are enveloped in this darkness, what does the devil then do? He whispers his temptations to us, enticing us to sin. And all of that is because we neglect to pray. Continuing. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray when prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse, where are treasured the boundless resources of omnipotence? What is omnipotence? All powerful. So what is prayer? Prayer is like a key in your hand to unlock heaven's storehouse of all power. If we understood that, then we would be praying so much more often, because we would recognize that the only way for us to obtain power to overcome temptations, to overcome our habits of sin, to break up our evil actions and no longer perform those, is through prayer. Without prayer, we don't have the divine power to overcome, and thus we fall into sin. But through prayer, we would obtain the power to overcome even the most difficult wrong actions that we've been battling with for years. All power means it doesn't lack. There's enough power from God for you to overcome any sin in your life. And all of that comes from prayer. It's the key to unlock the divine power you need to overcome, that you need to resist the devil, and he will be forced to flee from you. So why should you and me, the sons and daughters of God, be reluctant to pray when prayer is the way to obtain deliverance? Continuing, without unceasing prayer and diligent watching, we are in danger of growing careless and of deviating from the right path. So, how often are we to pray? Our prayer is to be unceasing. Now, we cannot always get on our knees and pray. We may be driving down the road. There's no way that we can get on our knees while we're driving. But that doesn't mean we can't dart a prayer to God. It doesn't mean that we cannot be in an attitude of prayer wherever we go, just because we can't get on our knees, or perhaps because we are not in a place to actually close our eyes in prayer to God. We can be in an attitude of prayer no matter where we are. But what goes along with prayer? Diligent watching. Looking out for dangers. Looking out for snares and pitfalls and traps that the enemy has carefully laid in our path. So with prayer, with faith, goes action, diligent watching, being careful, not allowing yourself to even give the appearance of doing evil, but remaining well within the boundaries of God's law and His will. So without unceasing prayer and diligent watching, we're in danger of growing careless and straying off of the straight and narrow path. And the devil knows this. And that's why he is as a roaring lion who never sleeps, who is going about, lurking around every corner, seeking whom he can find unprepared, who's not watching, and who's neglecting prayer, so he can pounce on them and try to give them a death blow. So the devil knows exactly what to do to get us into a vulnerable position. Continuing, the adversary seeks continually to obstruct the way to the mercy seat, that we may not, by earnest supplication and faith, obtain grace and power to resist temptation. How does the devil continually seek to obstruct our way to the mercy seat? Through the lust of the flesh, through the lust of the eyes, and through the things of the world. If the devil can get us to focus away from what our great high priest is doing now in this antitypical Day of Atonement in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, if he can divert our attention away from that importance and get us to focus on the world, or get us to focus on our own desires, or get us caught up in the various cares and perplexities of life, then we're not diligently watching. And because we don't discern the danger, we're not praying more often. And thus, these things obstruct our way to the mercy seat. And we do not have the grace or the divine power to resist falling under his temptations and snares. So we need to pray more often, and this prayer needs to be earnest, because we recognize the dangers of living in a wicked world, and we recognize the dangers of the adversary seeking to devour us at every turn. and we understand how weak we are in trying to overcome the devil and the things of the world and the pride of life and our own desires of the eyes or the flesh, and we fall an easy prey. We are weak because of our fallen, sinful nature and flesh that we live in. But Christ is strong because he never gave into these desires, these natural, inherent feelings towards sin. He felt it all, but he never gave into it one time. And thus, he has all the grace and strength that you and me need to overcome this sinful flesh that we live in. But if we think we're strong enough to say no to sin because we've done it in the past, then we're no longer connected with Christ. We don't recognize our need, and we're going to fall every time. Because without Christ, we can do nothing. But with Christ, all things are possible to those who believe. So without unceasing prayer and diligent watching, we're in danger of growing careless and allowing other things to obstruct our view and divert our attention to the great themes of Bible truth that's taking place all around us right now. Are there any comments or thoughts or questions that you'd like to bring forth before we continue on, dear ones?
Question. Is it possible to pray in the Spirit if one is so overwhelmed within his mind or being attacked? Is it possible, or do we believe in praying in the Holy Spirit? Would you please comment, please?
I'm not sure how to answer that question. I've never had that question asked me before. I know that the Spirit will make intercession for us before God, as we're told in Romans 8, I believe it is, that he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And there's been a couple times in which I have not known exactly what to pray or how to phrase my prayer, but I feel a need to pray. And so I have asked the Holy Spirit to please indict this prayer and plead before my God the things I don't know how to pray for. So that may be a form of praying in the Spirit, because I wasn't sure exactly what things to say in the prayer. And so that may be an answer to your question, brother. If your mind is so troubled that you're unable to pray, then just say, Lord, you know everything about me. You know exactly what I need. And I am in faith allowing you to work in my life. And God understands your situation, and he will indeed work in your life. He will indeed answer your prayer, even though you didn't know exactly what to say. So yeah, Romans 8:26, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So that may be the answer to your question, brother. But are there any others here that know a different way to answer the question or know a better way to answer it? Please feel free.
I pray that the Lord will give me the right way to phrase what is in my heart to say, because in some way I tend to believe that I have a slight understanding with that kind of wrestling, and where it seems as if though like it's almost like prayer is hindered, and yet there is this great need wrestling inside me to pray. And dear brother, I really do believe that that particular scripture, Romans 8:26, very aptly applies here, because when the Lord is moving upon us to pray and we're in the midst of a battle and we feel that we do not know how we are even ought to pray, and we're not even sure, can we even break through to pray, I believe very strongly that this is where the Holy Spirit really exerts so much grace and power in bringing us to our knees to just pray, and He prays for us. We do not know what it is that we are even battling at times, but God knows. We know we're in a warfare on one particular thing or another, or struggling over one thing or another, but the Lord knows exactly what this battle is about. We cannot even phrase it into words, because the scripture is very clear. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Because there are times when we may be praying for one particular thing that we think we need to have some victory over, or a way in which we can conquer in this area, or what we think we need in order to serve the Lord, but we may be very much off. But the Holy Spirit does know exactly, for the Lord does know. So I tend to believe, dear brother, that when we're in that kind of, at least I found that for myself, so I will speak there for myself. When I've been in those situations where I've really been under some wrestling and trying to deal with and overcome this thing, or some situation has come where I've really felt just quite overwhelmed and didn't seem like I could even pray through the situation, I will tell you, I really just drop to my knees and just, I'm there and like, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to even say. And I just stay there, dear brother, and I'm in peace, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm thanking God, and I just praise Him, and I'll sing a song in my heart, and I'll bring up scripture in my heart, and allow the Lord to help, to use that scripture to bring me through whatever it is He wants me to understand, and how to keep praying, because I believe that that prayer, to me, is a way of growing even closer with the Lord, and more intimate in that walk with Him. So I have to get some walk time in. So it is these different situations that seem to be so troubling sometimes to me that actually bring me closer to the Lord, or point out to me what I have been lacking and what I'm not paying attention to and what's hindering me more and more. So I don't know if that helped or made it more confusing in any kind of way, which I pray not, but I pray that maybe something of what I said was a help to you, dear brother.
Hello, everyone. I had a situation 2 years ago, almost, whereby, you know, you have these situations where you don't know what to do, and you agonize and agonize, can't eat, can't sleep, you cried, and you're tired of crying, and you kneel to pray, and you say a few words, and your mind is absolutely absent from the words that are coming out from your mouth. So I understand, I truly understand what it means when the Spirit can interpret what's in your heart. And you know fully well that the Lord knows everything, and He sees everything. And He knows, and He's familiar with your situation, so when you cry out, He knows what you're crying about. So, I truly understand what it means to, you know, when the scripture says and states that, you know, the Holy Spirit will reveal and interpret the things that are, even though you cannot utter, you cannot speak, you cannot form the right sentences and put together the right words, but your heart, and He knows exactly what you want to say, and He knows exactly what you need for those moments and those times. And thank God I was able to come out of that situation victoriously. God answered the needs of my heart, and He answered and revealed to me everything that was beneficial for my purpose and for my existence. So I know what it means to be in that predicament. I don't know if that's very helpful to the brother who asked the question. But God knows everything, and the Holy Spirit, I mean, knows everything. And when we are faithful and true to God, and we're faithful and true in our lives, you know, it's evident, and it's a textbook to those who are around us, looking at us, that we are dependent not on, upon ourselves, but upon the power of our God. And He brings us through every time. Amen.
Amen, brother. And that is so true. That is so true. And praise God for His merciful kindness in understanding everything that you were going through and providing you with victory through His grace and strength. And praise the Godhead for understanding everything about each one of us. And if we just will open our hearts to seek their help, then they don't wait for a second invitation. They're right there to immediately help you and to give you the extra grace and strength and the courage and the comfort to help in any time of our need. That is truly merciful kindness. Tender love. And a watchful, earnest concern for all of their children, for you and me. That's the Godhead we serve, dear ones. That is true love.
You know, as you read the book of Psalms and you hear how David talked to the Lord, David told the Lord just what he was feeling. And even though, even times when he was saying, you know, do something to my enemies, the Lord never rebuked David for saying just what he was feeling and was on his heart. And, you know, there's times in the past when I've gone through a lot of distress, and we know that the Lord will not be tempted beyond what we were able. But, I mean, I've gotten on my knees and I told the Lord, I said, you're pushing it. You know, I don't know if you're getting near my breaking point. But I never felt rebuked, because it says if we're talking to the Lord as to a friend, we can tell Him anything that's on our heart, and He will understand, and He can answer the prayer that sometimes in saying what's on our heart that we don't have the words to say.
I must add to that. That is so true, dear sister Yang, and dear brothers, as we share our experience. There was a time that I was in so much pressure. I felt like everything was just falling and just caving in. I was wrestling with something at the very time, and I just didn't know. I prayed, I fasted, and I just said, Lord, please, if you can just send a little twig, yeah, I can pull myself up from this quicksand. And as I was praying and I was asking the Lord, because sometimes in our life, we feel that there is nothing else that we can do. This is when truly we have to trust upon divine hand. And little did I know, the same day, few minutes after, I received a phone call from this dear brother, which actually called, and I know that the Lord not only answered prayer, but He knows the contents of our hearts. Just wanted to share that.
Yes, I just wanted to, I thank the living God, and really, my heart is rejoicing in how you had shared that, Sister Elaine, and it really struck a chord with me, because I have to confess that too often I don't pray like that, and just in the way that in which you, in that simplicity of that, which is so true, because I do read the Psalms through like that, and I see how clearly David just talks to the Lord. I think I get quite maybe a little fearful and formal. And I don't talk to the Lord as plainly as I and friendly as I guess I really need to practice that more, and I would probably feel very refreshed in doing so. And I don't know why that is. So I really praise the living God for you sharing that, and it really was like a bop upside the head, like, you see? This is what I've been trying to tell you. Just just relax and talk to me. I already know what's going on, so why don't you just let me know what's going on and talk with me, because I love you. So I praise the living God, dear sisters, for what you all shared, and I thank you for that.
Amen. Now, there's a verse that actually mentions praying in the Spirit, and this is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. And Paul says here, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." Now, in this particular situation, there were individuals that had the gifts, the true gifts, of speaking in tongues. But sometimes they would speak in a foreign language, but they wouldn't themselves understand what they were saying. And Paul says, if that's the case, and there's no one to interpret what you're saying, then remain silent. So this is dealing with praying out loud. So those that would be praying to God out loud in the church, but did not understand what they themselves were saying, Paul is referring here to praying in the Spirit, but not understanding what they were saying. Because in verse 14 he says, "If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." In other words, he doesn't understand himself what he's saying. So Paul was saying in verse 15 that he will pray with the Spirit in an unknown tongue and understand what he's saying, and that he will sing in the Spirit in an unknown tongue and also understand what he's singing. And if he didn't understand what he's praying or singing out loud, and no one else could understand what he was saying, then he would remain silent. So this is this verse here, praying in the Spirit, is dealing with praying out loud, but not understanding what you're saying. And what I and the rest were speaking about in here, according to Romans 8:26, is not so much praying out loud, but praying in your mind to God, directing your prayer to the throne of grace, and asking the Spirit to indict your prayer and plead before the Father the things that you just do not know how to put into words or how to express, and the Spirit will do that for you, and God will hear that prayer and accept what the Spirit has said, because the Spirit only brings out things that are in complete harmony with God's will. And the Spirit knows you and me better than we know ourselves. So he knows exactly what we need, exactly what we should have been asking for. But the Spirit recognizes the weakness of humanity. And so he then brings before God the words, the pleadings, the petitions that we should have asked for, but we didn't know how to. So, I mean, there was, without the Holy Spirit being a literal third God in the Godhead, we'd all be lost. He wouldn't be there to indict our prayers and plead before God the things that we don't know how to. And thus we wouldn't receive the answers to our prayers and the extra grace and divine strength necessary to overcome. So truly, it took three gods to make possible your and my salvation. And without there being three different gods in the Godhead, we wouldn't make it. We'd be lost. So, brother, if you were referring to praying in the Spirit in regards to 1 Corinthians 14, that was what it was referring to. It was referring to speaking in an unknown tongue and if you didn't understand what you were saying, then you were to remain quiet, or someone else was to interpret. And if there was no interpreter, then you were to remain quiet. But praying to God in the Spirit or through the Spirit for areas that you need help in, but you're uncertain how to express it, then the Spirit takes those petitions, arranges them in the proper format, and God hears it and answers it. So are there any other thoughts or comments regarding praying in the Spirit before we move on, dear ones? Okay, there was also another, not really a question, but more of an encouragement. When I mentioned that our great high priest, Jesus Christ, is in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary in this antitypical day of atonement, the word antitypical or antitype deals with there being a type or an actual service that was performed, and then that service was fulfilled and something else took its place. So what would take its place would be the antitype or the fulfillment of the type of what originally was in place. So the antitypical Day of Atonement would be the fulfilling of the literal Day of Atonement of in the earthly sanctuary. And in Leviticus chapter 16, you can find that Day of Atonement that the children of Israel in their earthly sanctuary was literally to perform. But since Christ came and died on the cross 2,000 years ago, his death on the cross fulfilled all of the ancient Jewish system of types and symbols. And then Christ, when he was resurrected and ascended to heaven, became our great high priest in the most, or in the heavenly sanctuary, beginning in the first apartment, and then finally now, ever since October 22, 1844, he's been in the most holy place, or the second apartment of the heavenly sanctuary, performing the work of atonement, the real atonement, that the earthly atonement pointed to. Because there's no way that the blood of bulls and goats that were connected with the Day of Atonement in the earthly sanctuary could in any way take away sins or atone for sin. It's just an animal. So it was a symbol pointing forward to the death of Jesus Christ and the shedding of his precious blood in order to atone for and provide forgiveness for the sins of other human beings. So the death of Christ fulfilled or was the antitype for all of the other symbols that were connected with the earthly sanctuary. And Christ being our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary is the antitype of the earthly high priests in the earthly sanctuary. So that's what antitype means. It means fulfillment of the original symbol or the original type. So are there any questions or comments regarding the antitype part of the symbolism of the earthly sanctuary before we move on? Okay? So the adversary seeks to continually obstruct our way to the mercy seat, to divert our attention away from what is taking place in that most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary, so that we would not be earnestly sending our prayers and supplications to God for the extra grace and strength and power to resist the devil. And Satan is a master at finding ways to divert our attention. He's had 6,000 years to practice, and he knows exactly what to do with any type of character of a human being to work in such a way to take their attention off of the important realities that are taking place today and to fix them on the lesser important things that are taking place. And as long as we're diverted, then he has a greater chance of causing our downfall. Continuing. There are certain conditions upon which we may expect that God will hear and answer our prayers. One of the first of these is that we feel our need of help from Him. So what is the first condition that we may expect God will hear and answer our prayers? We must first feel our need of help. In other words, we recognize that we can't do it without God's divine strength. So right then and there, we've crucified self. We humbly admit that we're weak. And that's the first condition for God to hear our prayers, recognizing our need of help from Him. Continuing. He has promised, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, which is Isaiah 44, verse 3. What's another term for pouring water? When water is poured from clouds, what do we call it? Call it rain. So God is saying, I will rain upon him that is thirsty. If you're thirsty, you feel your need of water. In a religious sense, in a spiritual sense, those that are pleading for God to satisfy their thirst in these last days are pleading for God to rain upon them water from heaven. The early rain was a falling of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. That was the beginning of their powerfully witnessing for Christ and the gospel they shared spread around the world. Through that water, that abundant outpouring of the Spirit in the early rain, the beginning of the gospel. Well, now we're here at the ending of the gospel. So not only do we need the early rain to sprout the seeds of truth in our lives and allow the plant to start growing, but in order to bring forth the fruit to maturity and perfection and to spread that gospel around the world to enlighten this dark planet with God's glory, we need more than just the early rain. We need the latter rain. We need that abundant outpouring of the water from heaven, the latter rain of the Spirit coming down on each one of us, filling us to the full, so that Christ and only Christ is shared abroad to others that are thirsting for the same type of water. And what does God promise to do? Zechariah 10:1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, which is right now, today. not in the future, it's now. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, today. And what will God promise to do? And the Lord shall send bright clouds and give them showers of rain. And what will this rain do? To everyone, grass in the field, new growth. So God has promised to pour out water upon him that is thirsty, to send them the early and the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. And then what will happen? Floods will be upon the dry ground. No longer will it be dry. No longer will it be cracked and barren. But it will now be moistened and softened, and new, green, living, lush grass will grow. The truth will reign supreme in your heart, and that truth will be shared by you with everyone around you until the whole earth has heard about it and has made their decision. Dear ones, this is just the first condition for God to hear our prayers. We recognize our need of the Holy Spirit to take our dry, barren hearts and moisten them with an abundance of water so that we're no longer dry and barren, but we're now showing forth the merciful fruits of righteousness. New, living, green growth is now seen in our lives because Christ is planted there and the Spirit has watered the seed and Christ has sprouted in us and is living through us and is seen by others. So God promises when we feel our need of help from Him, to give us the Holy Spirit, the most precious gift that God in Christ can give us. Because that's where divine power comes through. Without the Holy Spirit, we'd be lost. But with the Holy Spirit, we have the promise of salvation. The effectual working of God through the Spirit in us to will and to do of His own pleasure and not our own. We have the grace and strength to keep self crucified so that Jesus might live instead. So be earnest with your supplications for help, pleading with God to pour upon you His Holy Spirit in both early and latter rain, and He promises that He will do so, and He will pour upon you His Spirit, and you will no longer be thirsty, and you will no longer have cracked, dry, barren hearts, because now they're flooded with water, with the truth, with Jesus Christ, and the grace and the strength to follow it. That's Isaiah 44, verse 3. Continuing. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who long after God, may be sure that they will be filled. So if you're truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after Jesus Christ to live in you, then you no longer have to doubt, because you will be filled. God promises it. Amen. Psalms 107:35. God turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And God is doing the same miracle on your and my hearts. He's still a miracle-working God, and He's still working miracles today. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions, dear ones? Please feel free. Now, there's a question in the room that says, is there any churches out there that are teaching this message anywhere? And yes, there is, dear sister. There are indeed churches that are preaching the present truth, and they're scattered all over the world. They're not very big, and it may be just a few that are part of the church group. But there's a lot of churches that are preaching this message. But you won't find it in any of the established churches. You won't find it in the Catholic or the Baptist or the Methodist or Episcopal. You won't find it at any Seventh-day Adventist churches, but you will find it scattered all throughout the world that this message is being preached. And it's because they have opened up their hearts to God's Spirit, and they are allowing self to be fully crucified so that only Christ is revealed. And wherever the presence of Christ is in your midst, then through His presence, you are part of His church. So it doesn't really matter where you are yourself. If you've asked Christ to come into your midst and to bless your gathering with the atmosphere of heaven, then you, right there with Christ, are His church. So you don't have to be looking for a church over here or a church over there that you can physically join in order to worship God, because you can be part of God's church in your very home, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And God has mercifully allowed several individuals to come together in this little online church group, this home church online. And we are doing our best to live up in following the truth as it is in Jesus and worshiping our God in spirit and truth. And we're so happy, dear sister, that you could join with us on this Sabbath. But yes, there are a lot of small, independent churches that are preaching the full gospel message that you've heard preached here today. And praise God for it. Because the more groups of people that understand the truth, live the truth, and share the truth will just hasten the coming of our Lord and Savior. So if we will just open up our heart to the Spirit's influence, if we will just hunger and thirst after righteousness, if we will recognize our need of help from God, then He recognizes our sincerity and will pour upon you and me the early and the latter rain to fill and satisfy our thirst, and will give us abundance of grace and understanding of the truth, so that we will produce new growth in the image of Christ and there be able to share Christ with all around us and spread His gospel message around the world. That's the first condition to having our prayers heard and answered. Feeling your need of help. I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel as far as you're able to do so for closing prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, for your tender regard to each one of your children. Thank you so much for working in us and through us through the Holy Spirit and your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, that when you see that we are earnest in our asking for help, that you don't wait for us to ask twice, but you immediately pour out your Spirit upon us in both early and latter rain power, that you quickly answer our prayer and deliver us and allow us to gain the victory. And thank you so very much for doing so. I pray, Father, that you will continue to be with us, continue to lead and guide us upward, continue to fill us with your Spirit, and please abundantly pour them out upon each one of us, so that we might indeed no longer have barren, dry hearts, but can have well-watered, lush-growing hearts representing Jesus Christ. And thank you so much for doing so. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, let us take just 5 minutes, and then we'll come back at 11:09 for our next service.